On behalf of all the bishops and the priests and the sisters, seminarians, and brothers, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy and holy Easter. The epistle for Easter Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore, let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices that, coming, they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone roll back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Words taken from today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a story about a missionary in the early days of our country. One day, this certain missionary was striving to instruct some Indians. In fact, he was telling this particular group of Indians the story of Christ's passion, and eventually he was able to get to explain the resurrection. And as the priest was nearing the end of his discourse, he said, "Jesus died on the cross for all of us." They then put his body in a grave. And the third day, he came out of that grave by his own power. And finally, he said, "Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too hope someday to rise with him." And all at once, one of the chiefs objected to the missionary's words. In a strong voice, the chief declared, "I cannot believe that." You can imagine what must have been going through the missionary's mind if the chief said that. And the Indian chief did not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So, arguing his point, he said, "When you put something in the ground, it cannot come out by itself. And he said this thinking that he would confuse the priest. And in response, the missionary asked him a question. He said, "Do you ever plant corn?" The chief answered, "Well, yes." So the priest asked, "Well, what happens when you put a grain of corn in the ground?" And without any hesitation, the chief responded, "Why, the grain decays, and the corn comes up after a while." "Exactly," answered the missionary. He said, "The grain rots, but the life of the corn does not die." The priest continued saying, "It sends up a stalk several feet high and gives us new ears of corn." So the priest was able to explain how this applied to our Lord. And towards the end of his explanation, he said, "The only difference is that Jesus Christ was really dead while in the grave. Then by his divine power, he came out of the grave." And the priest finished by saying, "And someday Christ will also raise us up." And the chief said, "I can't see just how it is done, but I am beginning to believe." My dear friends, in the gospel for the feast of the resurrection, we read the words, "For he is risen." In the text of the Greek language, these words have a much, actually the verb of the Greek has a much stronger meaning than does the English, "For he has risen." The Greek word agerdete literally means that he has awaked from death. Much stronger in the Greek. In other words, he has awaked from a short and light sleep to light and life. This is why St. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, does not speak of those who have departed from life as dead. But you notice when reading his epistle to the Corinthians that he speaks of those who have died as sleeping. And this he does because one day we all will be awakened from the sleep of death and will rise again to life in the day of judgment. A certain author commenting said, "As sleep is a sort of brief death, so also is death a sort of longer sleep." That is why the missionary in the story said to the Indians, "Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too hope someday to rise with him." St. Jerome, in his commentary on the resurrection, says, "The bitter root of the cross has vanished, for the flower of life has burst forth with fruit. That is, he who lay in death has risen in glory." And this glory, my dear friends, is the same glory which Jesus Christ has waiting for us, for you and I. Today, when we celebrate the glorious feast of the resurrection of our Lord, we see very clearly a pledge or a type of our own resurrection. Jesus Christ is the true Paschal Lamb of the New Testament, food for our soul. As often as we would receive our Lord in Holy Communion, were we to come to daily Mass, we would have the availability to receive our Lord every single day, our Paschal Lamb. It is a continual pledge to us of our Lord's love for us. The Paschal candle in the chapel reminds us daily of what he went through in his passion. The holes in the candle representing the holes in our Lord. In our Lord being visible to our minds after his passion and death through the resurrection reminds us of our Paschal Lamb, but also, more particularly, why the Holy Eucharist is also his pledge to us of everlasting life. St. Paul writes in today's epistle, he says, "Let us live not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth," the Holy Eucharist. This morning, we will have the great privilege to approach the communion rail to receive the very one who we contemplated on Good Friday, hanging for 3 hours. On this day, we are able to receive the one who did that for us, to receive the very bread of life. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you." And today we are able to partake of that Eucharist, to eat our Paschal Lamb, to receive his body and his blood, to have his soul and his divinity within us under the appearances of bread and wine. This glorious privilege which we have as Catholics, it is a sign of our unity with him. The Holy Eucharist, received in Holy Communion, is also a sign of our unity one with another in the communion of the Church. And it is a pledge to us of everlasting life. And so, my dear friends, let us today on this glorious Feast of the Resurrection, especially as we pray the Rosary and contemplate in the mystery of the Resurrection, may we consider the gratitude that we ought to have for our Paschal Lamb, that we are truly blessed to have the one true faith, to have the Mass, valid sacraments. We have the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world here in the tabernacle on our altar. To think of that, to have gratitude for our Lord for this great gift, that our Savior, who is now within the tabernacle at this very moment, longs with an infinite desire for us to receive him. It's remarkable to think that our Savior, who is infinite, desires more than we do for us to receive him. He wants for us to receive him more than we could ever possibly desire to receive him. As strong as our desires can ever be, they will never be equal to our Lord's desire. May we fulfill that have gratitude to our Lord for that, for laying down his life for our salvation. As we approach the communion rail this morning, strive to keep these sentiments within your hearts, that you may receive your Paschal Lamb with hearts full of devotion, full of love for what he has done for us, in order that his own most sacred heart may, to as great a degree as possible, fill our hearts with love and devotion in return, to thank him for the many, many graces that he has given us. Most importantly, our faith. Renew your pledge to remain faithful today to his commandments, to live in the state of sanctifying grace, to receive communion often, to avoid the occasions of sin, and thus, in doing so, the greater by necessity will our hope in our own resurrection be. God bless you, and may you have a very happy and holy Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.